Okay, we'll get back into Galatians, and we've been in chapter 5 for a while. And Paul's been dealing with the situation there in Galatia where false teachers came in, the Judaizers that sought to add the law to the gospel, which of course would make it not the gospel anymore. And Paul's warned the saints in Galatia of seeking to attain to salvation on their own works or by the law. And he emphasized to them the liberty that we have in Christ. We've been set free. But being set free doesn't mean we live however our own lustful flesh wants us to go. We still contend with that old flesh, and there's still the old man that we have to deal with. And Paul wants the saints in Galatia to understand that, yes, indeed, they're free, but they're not free to sin. They're free to serve. They're free to live and to be what God would have them to be, as he got there in the beginning of chapter 5, where he said, "Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." But again, we're free to serve. We're free to follow the law of Christ, and we're free to be conformed to the image of the Son. And Paul here is emphasizing the fact that this struggle goes on. That's God's plan. That's part of what it is for us to become mature Christian men and women, and mature Christian warriors. Verse 17 we got into last week, and at least saw with the first part of it dealt with. And Paul speaks about this battle that's waged. "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." The struggle continues. We were saved by the grace of God unto good works, but not by good works. And yet, that old man's still within us, the old nature, though the Lord's implanted a new one. And we struggle with those things. We looked at the passage in Romans 7. I think that's where we finished up last week, where Paul spoke in Romans 7, verse 14. He's speaking as a Christian. He's speaking as an apostle. And he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Again, there's no problem with the law. There's a problem with me. "For that which I do not allow, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do." But you see, that's the mark of the Christian. He hates that. He recognizes that. He does not relish that. He does not wallow in that. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, the old man, doeth no good thing, but a will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." The struggle comes on, and it can't be overcome by the strength of the flesh. That's the point there. You know, we couldn't save ourselves, and we can't cause ourselves to live a godly Christian life. It's all by the power of God. And he 22 verse 22, he says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members." And then that cry of the child of God, Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from this body of sin? But there's victory. In verse 25, Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. That battle continues, but there is victory to be attained in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Christian is marked by this. He's marked by the struggle, but he's marked by prevailing over these things by the grace of God, not in a perfect sense. And then Paul there in Romans 8, continuing from the end of chapter 7, where he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And here where Paul's talking about walking after the Spirit, our manner of life, our manner of living. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Lord gave us a new heart. You know, Scripture doesn't say ask Jesus into your heart. The Lord gives you a new heart. He regenerates you. He makes you a new man. But in this life, the old man's still within, and the struggle continues. And he continues on in this verse 17. He says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two, the old nature and the new, the flesh and the Spirit, they're bitter enemies. There's no middle ground. There can be no accommodations. There can be no compromise. I'm sure we've probably all heard the legend of the old Cherokee who was supposedly teaching his grandson about life. And he said, you know, within me a fight goes on, a terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil, anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, ego. He said the other wolf is good. Joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And he said to his grandson, that same fight goes on within all of us, and it goes on within you. And the grandson thought for a minute, and he said, but Grandpa, which wolf will win? And the old grandpa replied, the one that you feed. You see, that struggle goes on. But by the grace of God, we have in us a greater power. And we need to feed that power by the grace of God. You know, do we feed the flesh, or do we feed the Spirit? Do we feed the old man, or do we feed the new man? Because that's the one that's going to be stronger. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. They're opposites. They're contrary by their nature. And these exist within every born-again child of God. They hate each other. They're in constant warfare. We need to be aware that there's a battle going on. And we, by the grace of God, seek to walk in the Spirit and after the Spirit. And let me be clear here. It's not like the old Oriental paganism of, like, you know, there's two equal and opposite forces in the universe, and there's the yin and the yang, it's not like that. We have within us a power that's greater. The apostle says, greater is the Spirit that is in you than is in the world. There's no doubt really about the outcome if one walks after the Spirit. It's not a balancing act between two equal forces. And yet it is a battle. It is a war because of our own old natures and the old man within us. Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." You know, you can look at the secular world. You can look at the athletes and how they work and sacrifice. Paul says, we're in a greater race. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." Listen, the body is a wonderful gift from the Lord, and it's a wonderful servant, but it can be a terrible master. We lost it again there. I don't know why. Well, how long we were on or how long we were off? But whatever. Okay, we're trying again. So we desire a complete victory. We desire a total victory, you know, over the flesh in this life. But it's not to be. There's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a war. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be contending forces. And God intends again. It's not by accident. It's all within God's intended decree and plans. He intends that we struggle. He intends that we learn. He intends that we grow. The battle-tested soldiers, not made in, you know, in the training camps. He's made on the battlefields. And the Lord intends us to be mature Christians, mature soldiers for Christ. And so the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. We can't do those good things that we would. Not in the power of our own flesh. Not however hard we try. Even as we just looked again at that passage where Paul just spoke at the end of Romans 7. You know, that there's that struggle. He desires to do good, but that's what he intends to do. But the good he wants to do, he doesn't do. And the evil he doesn't want to do, that's what he seems to do. The answer is to cast ourselves upon him. That's what Paul's getting at. And here, when he speaks about walking in the Spirit in verse 16, he'll emphasize it again. You know, cast ourselves on him. We desire to do good and not evil. And yet the old man within us attempts to reign. He attempts to prevail. He attempts to exert himself. The first thing to do is to recognize that there's a struggle, that there's a battle. The Apostle John writes over in his epistle, first epistle, 1 John 1 and verse 6. He addresses the same sort of situation. He says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." You know, you meet folks that are living a hellish life, and they'll say, "Well, everything's okay with me and God." No, it's not. You know, no, it's not. And yet people like to think that, and people are taught to believe that in many of the so-called churches around today. You know, well, you got saved and everything's okay. Doesn't matter how you live. Here's the Apostle John says, if we say we have fellowship with him, and fellowship's different than a relationship. You know, if we're born again, we're his children from eternity. But fellowship is when we have sweet communion with the Father, sweet communion within the family. And John says, if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, if that's where we live, if that's how we live, if that's our sphere of existence, we lie and do not the truth. You know, the child of God will not walk in darkness as a habitual manner of life. He stumbles, he falls, he falters. God knows for what period of time. But the child of God will not walk in darkness after a habitual manner of life because that's not what he is. And when he does stray, you better be assured he's out of fellowship with the Lord. Without going into details, I can say in my own life, the time I was most convinced of the existence of God is when I wasn't walking right. And buddy, I knew there was a God because he was dealing with me. And there were times God, I mean, put his thumb down on me. And I wasn't in fellowship, but I was aware of who he was and what he intended. And when we stray, we're out of fellowship with the Lord. Our sins are not okay. Our sins are not of no consequence. And when you just think about it a little bit, you know, it's our sins that put him upon the cross. It's our sins that he atoned for. And all of our sins, past, present, and future. And so it should pain us when we sin. Though they're forgiven, though they're under the blood, that's what put him there. And so John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's cleansing us. If we walk in the light, and that's the manner of life, that's the habitual life for the child of God, we have fellowship with him. We have fellowship with one another. And that blood cleanses us. Look what it says here, and you see it throughout. It cleanses us from all sin. You know, he died to cleanse us from our sins. He did not die to give us liberty in our sins. He did not die to give us the ability to continue on and perpetuate in the midst of our sins. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And those who continue on perpetually in those sins as a manner of life, as a manner of being, as a manner of existence. I can't look at their hearts, but they manifest, they evidence, never having known him. The apostle continues, John, there in 1 John. He says, 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, if we say, you know, that struggle, we've accomplished it, we've arrived. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Brethren, this struggle goes on. If we say, I don't have that struggle, I don't have any sin, I don't have any problems with sinful inclinations. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The old man abides. Our sinful natures have not been eradicated. Those who in this life, and there's those who do that as a matter of theology, there's whole denominations that that teach that one can attain to sinful perfection in this life. I haven't seen anybody like that. But they claim that. John says, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. Here's the thing, the way he says it there, we deceive ourselves. You know what? We don't deceive God. We say we don't have any sin. God knows. And by and large, we don't deceive anybody else either. We can say we don't have any sin, but people can look at our lives. They can look at our existence. And then a blessed thought at the end of, towards the end of that discussion there, he says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the way to be cleansed, the way to walk, the way to win victory is to confess our sins before the Lord, to seek forgiveness. And in those things, again, it's not a forgiveness in the midst of the sin, but it's to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the power of the Spirit. That's the power of Christ. That's the blessed thought. There can be a victory, because greater that is He that's in us. And the remedy until we receive our glorified bodies like unto His own is confession and repentance and trust. For the child of God, you know, we just don't repent one time. We just don't confess one time. We don't just trust one time. But that should be a daily experience for the child of God. And then John concludes in verse 10. He says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If we say, oh, no, you know, we've attained sinless perfection. We've got this. We've won this. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. To claim that we've attained to sinless perfection is to deny the truths and the evident facts of Scripture, and to make God out to be a liar. And again, that's another evidence that, you know, his word's not really in us. And so we're all engaged in this struggle. All of us. All true children of God, all born-again believers, they contend with the old man and the new man, with the old nature and the new nature. And we need to understand that, and sometimes it's hard for us. I understand that. I'm not always real good at this. But it's true for others, just as well as ourselves. They're struggling, they're contending, they're fighting. They're sometimes fighting on a different battlefield. And I think it's important what Paul's point is here when he talks about loving one another is that we empathize, that we encourage, that we support, that we forbear, but not at the expense of truth and honesty. And Paul's never one to pull his punches there. As he said, I don't fight as one that beats the air. And when he deals with the saints here in Galatia, and he's going to get into some very specifics as we go on about these things and some things that a child of God ought not to be involved in any way. But we should seek to deal with those that are struggling in kindness and love because we're struggling. I mean, do you sometimes look at others, say, how can they do that and be a saved child of God? And sometimes maybe we should look in the mirror and say, how can I do that and be a saved child of God? Our sins are not defensible. They're not acceptable. But by the grace of God, there's a remedy. There's another way. There's a better way. And though in this life we don't always follow it, it's there by the grace of God. And that's what Paul alluded to in verse 16, and what he gets back to in verse 18, and where we'll pick up in detail, I guess, next week. But Paul says this, But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. But if ye be led of the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit is a leader and a guide to the children of God. He truly is to be the boss of me. Well, you're not the boss of me. The Holy Spirit ought to be the boss of us. And we'll look at this in detail next week, but again, they're led of the Spirit. They're not pushed. They're not dragged. You know, that indicates they're an inclination, which of course comes from the Spirit. But they're led by the Spirit. Now, you can push a dead man, you can drag a dead man, but you can't lead him. Folks who haven't been born again by the Spirit of God cannot be led by the Spirit. But the child of God ought to be led by the Spirit. And beyond that, he needs to be led by the Spirit. Right. And Brother Gill notes that the words that are used here are often like a metaphor that they use for someone who leads the blind or someone who leads little children. And we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And I pray that by the grace of God, and it's all by His grace, that we might be led of the Spirit and that we might manifest, as Paul's going to get into here, the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, we'll take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 388. Yield not to temptation. 388. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, for one another. Pray you be with my wife as she's feeling a little ill this morning. be with others that need your healing and comfort. Father, we thank you for the reality of our salvation. And yet, Lord, in the light of that, the struggle still goes on. The old man still fights on and seeks to prevail. But we're thankful, Lord, that greater is the Spirit that's within us. We thank you, Lord, that by your grace we might be led of the Spirit and walk in the ways of Christ. Father, we pray that that might be. Lord, help us to be the Christian warriors that you would have us to be. To continue on by your grace and to your glory. Lord, be with our sister churches, our sisters and brothers in the Lord. Lord, we live in difficult and confusing times, but there's certainly been such before. Lord, these are the times that you put us in, and we feel the need of your grace and your sustenance and of your Spirit. Father, thank you for your everlasting love. Lord, for that everlasting covenant. Thank you, Lord, for the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. From the work of the Spirit that gave us life and brought us to embrace the gospel of our salvation. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen.